Good morning. Welcome to The Crossing. We're glad you're with us here today. If you're visiting, thanks for coming. And we want to say a special happy Mother's Day to all our mothers. One of the core values of The Crossing is family. We believe we're the family of God, and family is vital and has an importance in our lives, but also the family unit, and that it health comes from that. And we know one of the vital, important parts of the family unit is the mother. And you have a tireless job, but it is so vital to your family, and we want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you do. And later on this service, we want to honor you. You have a gift out front, but there will also be some drawings. And just a time to say in a video to say thank you for all that you do. If our heart, our vision, we exist here to plant churches and spread God's fame all across this world. That is what God has called us to do, plant 30 churches across the world that would reproduce and plant 30 churches. We began that process and seeing what God are doing, and there's some incredible things happening. If you haven't looked on Movement Church, their Facebook page, take a look and see. They're in their facility. They're getting it all set up, and God's doing some amazing things. They had their largest crowd last Sunday. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. God's just doing some amazing things, and we're so excited for them. And we see as those churches plant churches that 930 churches will come from the vision. And that's what God's called us. And how do we do that? By becoming a disciple that makes disciples of Christ. And that's the great commandment and the great commission. And by connecting to Christ, the body of Christ, growing in a relationship, partnering together and leading people on that journey. So we're excited to see what God is doing. I want to start a series this week on Pneuma, the life of the Spirit. Basically, what it means to live in the Spirit, to have life in the Spirit. A few weeks ago, I was reading this thought, and it really got me to thinking. It said, imagine your life as a glass. And in that glass, your life is filled up with many different things. You know, we have a busy schedule. And imagine that as you continue to add to your schedule and to your life, that you fill this glass to the very brim. And that your life is constantly at a high level. Now, I know some of you say sometimes this is not an issue of half glass full or half empty. I'm talking about your life. What's inside of you? The busyness of your life. And every time your life goes through a trouble or a situation, it bumps. And as it bumps, it spills. And spill comes out of you. The liquid comes out of you. And the question today is this. When your life is bumped, what comes out of you? Is it life of the Spirit? Or is it the pressures of life in the world? Let me phrase it like this. Does the fruit of the Spirit come out of you when you go through a hard time or you're pushed or you're prodded or somebody makes you upset? Does love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, does that flow out of you? Or does anger, rage, greed, bitterness, malice, hate, does that come out? As a believer in Christ, as someone who experienced Christ, His design for you is that the Holy Spirit would live in you and through you. And that when you go through those challenges, as Jesus told us, we would face challenges. That when you go through those challenges, when you get bumped, what comes out? That life would come out of you. That hope, that peace, that joy would come out of you. Instead of the things of this world that could be hatred and hurt those, it could live and give life to those around you. How do you do that? By living a life in the Spirit. And that is God's plan for you. So for the next few weeks, we're going to dive into what it means to have a pneuma life, to live life in the Spirit. Pneuma is a Greek word that literally means life of the breath of life of the Spirit of God. And this is what comes out of you. And our heart, our prayer is that as a believer, you can experience all that God has. Now, let me just give a kind of a preference before we get started. Kind of the pre-thought. Every time you deal, there's two areas in the church that people don't like to talk about. One is the end times, and the other is the Holy Spirit. And the reason we often don't talk about it is because it's hard to understand. And as I'm going to teach you even this morning, you're going to see there is a lot of scripture. I reference it to a lot of, literally, like I have a fire hose today, and I'm fixing to just unload that thing and throw it on you. Now, I know it's going to hit you in the face, and you're not going to be able to drink everything that's thrown at you today. But what I'm asking you is this. One of two things. If you are into technology, open your phone or your tablet and go to the YouVersion app. You can look under the events. You'll see the Crossing Church under there, and it'll have all these scriptures and notes laid out for you. If you say, I don't care about that stuff, get you a pen and paper, and I want you to write down these scriptures and write down these thoughts, because we're going to lay this stuff out. And this is a lot to take in, but I want you to grab it all. Therefore, you're going to have to take this and study it for yourself. Because oftentimes, when we talk about subjects like these that are difficult, it's a lot of information to cover. And what happens is people just revert to either their preconceived thought. Whether, I believe in this or I don't believe in this. Well, I'm asking you today to throw all that out and study to show yourself approved. Study the Word of God and apply it to your life today that it can grow and develop you. Okay? So, when we look at this today, we talk about this. The first question that we get to is, who is the Holy Spirit? We're going to talk today about the person of the Holy Spirit. We often think about the Holy Spirit. We think about what is the Holy Spirit. We refer to it as an it, as a ghost. One of the terms in the Bible used is the Holy Ghost. What is a ghost? What does that mean? When you look at the Holy Spirit, you have to understand it's not some mystical being. It's not some star force. The force will be with you. You know, it's not that. It's not electricity that just zaps you and hits you and changes you. The Holy Spirit is not a what, it is a who. So when you want to look at the Holy Spirit, you have to ask yourself, who is the Holy Spirit? And you recognize that he is a person and a part of the Trinity. Well, how do we know that the Holy Spirit is a person? Let me give you several things that we can see. First of all, we see that he is described as in use of a personal use pronouns. When he's described, it's always as a person. It's never as a thing or it. It's as a person. Look in John 14, 15. Jesus is speaking. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father who will give you the advocate. Now, let's just stop. There's Jesus. He's going to ask God the Father. He will give you another, an advocate who will never leave you. He, see that personal use pronoun? He is the Holy Spirit who will lead us into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in you now and later will be in you. You see the use here. He's referring to him every time as he. He is a part of the Trinity. He is a part of the Godhead. He is a person. Just as Jesus is God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about that in a minute. They're all individual persons, three in one. Look in John 16, 5. It says, verses 5 through 9. But now I am going to go away, and the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking, where am I going? Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is the advocate. In fact, the advocate won't come if I don't go away. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. And he comes and he will convict the world of its sin and God's righteousness of coming judgment. The world's sin that it refuses to believe in me. You see there again, he, it's a personal use. He's referring to the Holy Spirit as a person. He will come. He will convict you of sin. He will draw you to him. So you see right there that there's one attribute. Another way we can see is from his personal characteristics. Let me give you some examples. His intellect, 1 Corinthians 2, 1. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. There again, it is the Spirit of God. He has intellect. It takes on personal thoughts and it has to be living. You know, your desk that you sit at does not have personal thoughts. You're at it every day, but it does not have a personal thought. The chair you sit in may have, you know, meaning there, but it has no personal thought. It's simply a thing. Living is the difference. You see how God's Spirit has living. It makes choices. It has intellect. Ephesians chapter 4, we see feelings. It has feelings. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember that he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of his redemption. Do you see the feelings? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It's telling you there is a feeling when you, the way you act will directly affect how the Spirit receives. It's saying he has feeling. Another thing we see is his will, 1 Corinthians 12:11. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gifts each person should have. So he distributes gifts to you. There again, he has a will that he distributes to others. Another thing we see is his actions. Now, I could go on and on and on in his actions, but let me give you three distinctive ones that are very clear. First one in Acts 13:2, he speaks. That's one of the actions is that he speaks. Look at this, in verse 2. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work which I have called them. He speaks to us. He speaks to you. As you pray, he will speak into your heart and guide and direct you as well. Another thing we see is that he teaches, John 14:26. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. There again, he teaches. The third thing we see in action he has is he convicts. John 16:8-11. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and God's righteousness and coming judgment. The world's sin, and it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. So you understand what it's saying here. Is that when you look at this, these are the attributes you, or the attitude you can see, they're the personal characteristics of the Holy Spirit. He is active. He is moving. He is a person. He's not a what. He is a who. And when you come to know Christ, it's the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that draws you in. We'll look at that scripture in just a moment. Now, another interesting part that's very confusing for people is how is he a part of the Godhead? Because we think of the Holy Spirit, if he is a who, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, how is he a part of the Godhead? Well, there's several attributes we can see from that. The first one is that, think of it like this in Matthew 28:19. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so there again, there's no plural nouns there. Baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14. My grace of the Lord Christ Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. You see them all again? Lord Christ Jesus, comma, love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So we can see that the Holy Spirit is a divine part of the Trinity. Now, this is difficult for us to understand. Let me try to help you. There's an illustration often used in the form of H2O, water. When you have water, water in its original state, in a liquid form, is just what we have right here. It's simply water. But if water is frozen, what does it become? Ice. Ice has a what? A solid form. This is basic science, isn't it? But does ice, is it changed from water? Is it still H2O? Yes. It's a frozen state. If you were to boil it and heat it up, what happens? Evaporates. It's steam. Man, you guys are so smart. That's science. You listened in science class. It becomes steam, right? Does it change the fact that it's still H2O? No, it's a different form of it. When you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all the same, but they're in different forms. Now, let's look at it through a scriptural state. When God created the world in Genesis, he created the world what? That form and void. He put man. He created man in his own image. And it was a sinless world. It was perfect. Everything was great. They were connected right there together. All was well. But what happened? Because man has a free will, man sinned, separated itself from God. When man separates itself from God, God says, I can't have that. I created man to have worship me and to have community with me. So God sends his Son. His Son is now, he is what? The intermediary. He is the intercessor. He comes and intercedes in our behalf. He lives a sinless life, becomes the sacrifice for us. Because prior to that time, if you look in Genesis, you see that the only way to reconnect to God was through a blood sacrifice. So Jesus becomes that blood sacrifice. He gives his life on the cross and now reconnects us to the Father. But they know that we have to have connection. Jesus says, I'm leaving, but there still needs to be a connection where you can be directly connected to God. So the Holy Spirit comes. He now comes in, and he is here on this earth operating among you and through you, drawing you to Christ, but then living a life, filling you up so you can live a life in the Spirit and in turn be effective in what? Drawing people back to God. That's His design. That's His plan. That's what He wants for you. It's His ultimate plan. But when we look at it in our lives, you have to know that that is who the Holy Spirit is. That is what He is doing for you right now. Now let's look at another way we can see who He is. He and how we can see He's a part of the Godhead. Because He carries the attributes of God. Now there again, this is one of those things. I'm going to give you some scriptures, but I want you to read this week. One, we see that there's eternal in Hebrews chapter 10. There's the eternal aspect of God. The Holy Spirit is a part of that. You see that in Hebrews 10, 29. In John 14, 26, which we've referenced several times, you see that He is all-knowing as a part of the Godhead. Luke 1, 35 through 37, you see that He is all-powerful, that He is active, moving, and all-powerful. Psalms 139, 7 through 10, you see that He is all-present. So you can see the attributes of God, the very characteristics we see, and we see in God the Father and Jesus the Son, you also see in check with the Holy Spirit. They carry this, the attributes of God. So, when you look at this, it's important for you to understand that it is a who, not a what. Now, when you look at that, how does that apply to our lives? How have we as humans seen Him, right? Because we're talking about this, we're reading about this, we're saying, how has humans in this earth, going back to the beginning of time, how have they experienced God? Well, He comes in often in forms of symbols. You can see Him in different ways, and scriptures show us that. One of the ones we see, He is revealed through symbols, is wind or breath. In Ezekiel 37, we see where there is a valley of dry bones, and Ezekiel speaks to the dry bones, and the Lord speaks to him. He tells them to come together. There's an alignment. Then he puts muscles, tells them to speak and put muscles. Then what does He do? They're just dry bones there, but He says He speaks the breath of God. He says, speak breath, breathe into these cadavers, essentially. And when Ezekiel speaks it, what? The breath of life comes in them, and it raises them up like a vast army. You can see the hand of God moving in this situation, and it is the symbol of the Holy Spirit breathing life into it. And often in the whole Old Testament, you see wind associated to the Holy Spirit. But in Acts chapter 2, when they're gathered in the upper room, what is it? A mighty sound, like a violent rushing wind swept through. What's interesting about that wind is it was so loud and so real to everyone, believers and non-believers, that the people in the town literally rushed towards the upper room area saying, what was that sound? Why is there a rushing wind coming? What is that all about? But people could hear it. The human eye could see and could hear and feel the wind. Another thing we see is water. Is in water. John 7:38. And I want to look at this verse with me. It says, anyone who believes, this is Jesus speaking. He's telling them, anyone who believes me, he literally shouts this out. Can you imagine? He's a group of people everywhere around him. He just shouts this out. He says, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. In verse 39, it says, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had yet not been given because Jesus had not yet been entered into his glory. So Jesus was telling them the living water that will come. Remember in John 4? In John 4, do you remember the story of the woman in the well? Jesus is at the woman in the well and he says, I can give you water that you'll never thirst again, living water. And she says, how can you do that? I want that. I'm here drawing this water from the well. I want the living stuff. It comes from the Holy Spirit in John 7, who will give life, a river of living water. So you can see that the water, the living water, is another symbol we see from the Holy Spirit. Another is oil. This was very commonly used in the Old Testament when they would anoint the king with oil. Samuel did this as well. When there was an anointing taking place, they would pour oil over their head. You know, here when we pray, in according to James chapter 5, it says anoint with oil, we actually just dab it. But sometimes, you know, how about you get Old Testament and just pour the whole bottle on your head? Can you imagine that? You're praying, and it's like, what is this coming down me? You know? But that's what they did. What did it symbolize? It symbolized what? The anointing Spirit of God moving in their lives. In Luke chapter 4, we see another example where there is an anointing of oil. Over and over, you see this represented. Also a dove. You see, when Jesus was baptized by John, as he comes up out of the water, a dove literally descends on his head. It was a symbol of the Holy Spirit now living in and through Jesus. So when you look at this, you can see he is a divine part of the Trinity. It's three in one. He has the characteristics of God, the attributes of God. It's all designed to show us the symbol that he is a part of God. So we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but they're all operating, and yet the Holy Spirit is what gives you that connection to the Father that allows you. Now, Jesus is there interceding on your behalf, but the Holy Spirit gives you the direct access. When you were walking this journey of life, you've had struggles, and maybe you're here today and you don't know God, and you're battling this element of life, the sin and the pain and the struggles, and you wonder, how do I make it? Well, one thing you have to understand here is that God loves you so much he sent his son. But beyond that, he didn't want you just to say a prayer and be done. He wanted the Holy Spirit to come and give you life and empower you and make you a believer that can now have the fruit of the Spirit, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks, living out of you. Because you're going to get bumped in life. Somebody's going to come along and they're going to spill and they're going to make you angry. We say, oh, that's wrong. No, Jesus said, be angry and what? Sin not. That's hard to do, ain't it? You know, if you're a parent, God bless your soul. I know with me, it's like my middle son has the ability to get me from 0 to 100 real quick. And I'm like, you know, and it was in the midst of this one morning, he was decided he wanted to do his way. And, you know, I went off, I got on him, and in the midst of this, the Lord began to speak to me, saying, whoa, let's go back to this. You're bumped. What's coming out of you? And I'd like to tell you that, oh, praise God, I'm perfect. I'm not. I'm not. You tell my kids, they'll stand up and say amen. I'm not. I'm not perfect. And there are moments that I catch myself, but there again, I have to come back and say, wait a second. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is he doing? What is he trying to speak to me? You see, the Holy Spirit is here to live in you, to give you life, to help you be effective. Not perfect, because perfection only comes in heaven. You're going to mess up. But you've got to live a life in the Spirit. You've got to know that God is there for you. You see, one of the most amazing things to me, the significance. You ask, what is the significance of knowing who the Holy Spirit is? Why is this important? What is the significance? Let me tell you what it is. The significance is he is a person of the Godhead that you can directly experience. Jesus comes. He forgives you of your sin. He lives inside of you. But you know what that conviction came from, John 7? The Holy Spirit. When you're walking along in life and you're out there this week and you have an option to do something you know you shouldn't do and you have that check inside that says, I probably shouldn't do that. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. A lot of people say, well, that's just my conscience. No. That's what the psychologists have called it because they don't understand how this all works. That's the Holy Spirit. He has come to draw us to him. That's his design. That's his plan. He wants to draw you. And you, as a believer, experience him. That's why when you ask Jesus into your heart, when you said, Lord, come into my heart, or if you're in that decision today, if you make that decision today, you'll feel something inside. And you'll say, what is that feeling? Listen to me. This is what makes him the one true living God. He's not an idol. He's not a mystical being. He lives inside of you and you feel him living in you. It is the Holy Spirit who is drawing you to him. It is the Holy Spirit who draws you to live a life of holiness for Him. If you are at a point in your life where you're wondering, Lord, what can I get away with? Then you need to question, where is the Holy Spirit living inside of me? Because God and sin do not mix. And the Holy Spirit does not want you to live in sin. Now, because you're human, you will fall. But you should be striving towards a life of holiness, because the Holy Spirit is living in you and will flow out of you. The second thing is, He creates unity without uniformity. When the Holy Spirit is here, He creates unity among us. There's no cookie cutter Christian, because everybody in here has a different life, a different past, a different areas in their life that have been hurt and pain. All of us have different baggage, but yet all of us have experienced the grace of God. And when you've experienced Him coming to you, you experience love, joy, peace. The fruit of the Spirit begins to dwell in you, and you see a difference. It changes you. He exposes potential in our lives. You see, we are in constant need of the touch of the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians. You can see through the whole book of Corinthians. It talks about over and over where Paul, he writes the desperate need and desire of the Holy Spirit to be operating in you, to make you be effective in reaching people for Him, for Jesus. Another thing He's doing is He's leading on you two paths simultaneously. The path of deep and wide. Remember as a kid, you may have sang this, deep and wide, deep, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. What is He talking about? That's the Holy Spirit. He wants to send you on a path where you're growing deep and you're growing in your roots and you're developing. How do you grow roots? How do roots grow in trees? They grow what? They grow when there's a lack of water. They go deeper to find the water. You see, sometimes in the church today, the sad thing that's happening is there's no desire to go deep in the Word. People expect, I can come on Sunday morning and get all that I have right here. I'm going to tell you something. If this is all you have, and you're counting on this to help you make it through the storms of life, the first storms that come, your tree's going to go down. Your roots are grown on your knees before the Lord. Your roots are grown in the Word of God, reading His Word, studying it for yourself, not depending on one person to give you a message to make you feel good and walk out and think you've got it. If you think you've got it, let me tell you something. When that storm comes, you're going to say, "Dear God Almighty, I can't make it." And you know what the Lord's speaking to you if you're in that spot? Get on your knees. Get in your Word and grow some roots. When does a tree roots get the strongest? In the middle of a storm. Because in the middle of a storm, those trees' roots will reach down, they'll grab a hold, and they'll do everything they can to stay put. That storm that you're facing right now is not a storm to destroy you. It's a storm to strengthen you. You've got to get deep. But once that deep comes out, what happens? Those branches begin to shade. They create what? Shade. The width that God has for your life is designed that you can now extend the shade of God on other people's lives. That they can experience the same shade in the middle of the storm that you experience when you experience Christ in your life. But this happens through the Holy Spirit connecting to Him. And lastly, He's a person, I want you to get this, that you can resist and ignore. You see, don't forget that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. God is a gentleman. He's not going to force Himself on you. You make a choice whether you're going to serve the Lord or not. Joshua said it in Joshua 24, didn't he? He said, "Choose this day whom you serve, but for me and my house, we're serving the Lord." Because in that time of Israel, everybody started thinking, well, there's probably multiple ways to heaven. Does that sound familiar? The Lord is speaking to you right now, and He's showing you that He, the Holy Spirit, is here right now to meet your need. And if you're in the middle of a storm, He's there for you. I want you to close your eyes and reflect on that. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, we never want to close this service without giving you that opportunity. Maybe you're battling a storm, you're tired, you're weary, you're frustrated, you're wondering, how in the world am I going to make it? And that's because you've never heard the message of Christ. You never knew there was hope. Or maybe you've heard it, but you've walked away from it, and you need the Holy Spirit to help you today. And you want to dedicate your life to Him, to Jesus, to giving your life to His message, allowing Him to minister to you and help you. If that's you today, with no one looking around, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, I want to give you that opportunity. Just make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you right where you're sitting, saying, hey, pray for me. I need Jesus in my heart. I need Him in my heart. Amen. Anyone else? I know I'm not following Him. Anybody else? You're saying, I want Jesus in my heart. I want Him to be my Savior forever. Anybody else? Amen. Anyone else? Let's pray. If you're here today and you made that commitment, you said, hey, I want Him in my life, I want you to make this your prayer. But if you're on this journey and you're saying, hey, maybe you experienced Christ, but allow Him to, let it be a reminder of what He's done for you. Let's all say this together to not point anybody out, but let's just, if you made that decision, make this your prayer. But let's pray. Dear Jesus, I come to You today, and I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I believe You died for me, rose again, and now today, I choose to live for You. In Jesus' name.